time to bury the tired narrative and uncover stories not typically heard, but stories that need to be heard. Right or wrong, life or death, this isn't your typical law show. This is Big Angry Law with Charles Big Angry Adams on KPRZ 950. Now, Charles Adams.
Well, the breaking news this evening, Sam Bankman-Fried, SBF, has been arrested in the Bahamas after prosecutors in the Southern District of New York have filed a sealed indictment. The belief is that the indictment stems from the transfer of funds between FTX and Alameda Research, which was a hedge fund also owned by SBF. The thought is that he inappropriately took billions, with a B, of dollars from investors. And when I say investors, I don't mean people that bought stock in the company, but people that thought FTX was like a bank of sort for cryptocurrency, where they were putting their crypto into safe deposit box. And that's not really how our banks work either, right? Like, our banks take our money and then lend it to other people and borrow it, and it's all floating off in this money air that none of us knows how it works. And that's why when you have a run on the bank, sometimes it could create an issue, which is also another reason a lot of people like to have safe deposit boxes or put, you know, underground safes and fill them with gold bullion in their home. But there are rules with banks, and when people do what SBF did, they go to prison. Or even with investing, as in the case of Barry Madoff, whose Mets jacket hangs here in my studio, that if you think you're investing in something, and in fact you're not, or the person you're investing with takes that money to, I don't know, spend hundreds of millions of dollars on real estate in the Bahamas while you preach about living the utilitarian minimalist life from your $49 million penthouse in the Bahamas while you travel around in private jets. I saw something today about Pete Buttigieg's 18 trips in private jets since he's been the Secretary of Transportation, which only irritates me because, well, Pete Buttigieg loves to lecture us on our carbon footprint. There are already mainstream media left-wing acolytes. I don't know, acolytes, sycophants. I don't know what should be. Acolytes isn't the right word. That are already bleeding that maybe, just maybe, here's from a Henry Blodgett, blue check mark, 100,500 followers. Journalist, he says. FTX's collapse doesn't mean someone committed a crime. They were a highly leveraged financial institution. Their assets plummeted in value while their liabilities stayed the same. Happens all the time. Incompetent, reckless, stupid, yes. Not necessarily criminal. Oh, Henry. I think Henry suffers from the mistaken belief that as the CEO of Insider, self-described columnist and bloviator, that we're not somehow able to see through the paper-thin veneer of, I'm a soldier for the left. And of course, SBF is a hero of the Democrats, not because he's such a swell guy, but because he has given them a lot of money. While preaching this mantra of, I make a lot of money so I can do more good. I grow my hair out and wear a t-shirt and ugly shorts because I don't need nice things. Yes, I'm living in an orgy pit in the Bahamas where I'm having all kind of free sex and craziness. But Oh, shucks, I might have spent nine figures on some real estate for my parents, but gosh darn it, we're just simple folk. We just want our Amish furniture and, you know, really, really low. I don't need all the fancy doodads in my Rolls Royce. I don't need the refrigerator in the back seat. That's just too much. And well, all these naked women walking around, well, they don't have to be skinny and cute for me. I'll take the fat, ugly ones too. I'm just a simple guy with simple orgies in a $50 million penthouse on an exotic Caribbean island. Just me, Sam Bankman-Fried. Well, it'll be a hard fall from that lifestyle he's led for the last few of his 30 years to the realities of prison. He has probably stole more money than Madoff, and we all know how that ended. And hopefully he will have a similar end. And my issue here, and I think the federal government's issue, will be the fact that he took investors' money, not investors, people that were banking on the exchange in their mind's eye, and took their money. And I think if they would have lost all their money because crypto imploded, that's a whole different deal. Let's say you put in $100,000 with bought crypto, and it plummeted in value to $15,000. Well, that's like investing in stock anywhere else. That $85,000 hit, that's your fault. It's like me and the Lucid car company. And I look at that and I just get mad every day, right? Like, how is this company that makes such a badass car doing this poorly? The economy. Thanks, Fed. Y'all are a bunch of idiots. Thanks for destroying the economy and my investments. But that's not what happened here. I mean, it happened to some degree, but for the most part, and that's what a lot of media tried early to paint this portrait of this wonderful, kind, generous, democratic donor. Well, it's just not his fault. It's all falling apart. But the truth is that he took a bunch of money that wasn't his and transferred to another company, and then they spent it while they're having these big, crazy sex orgies down there on an island. While looking, like, have you seen some of the pictures of him? He looks like one of those people that's just joking, right? That's like truly evil on the inside, but finds it amusing to present this image. And of course, he had a Twitter DM conversation where that's exactly what he said. I don't know. I hope he spends the rest of his life in prison. We shall see what happens. We'll be back in just one moment.
This is Big Angry Law on KPRC 950.
I've got an amalgam of a story to make you, at least a regular listener, a human being who listens to the radio show, go a little bit insane in the membrane, which is why I went with that song. And I want to start with, in 2012, there was a man who attempted, or was convicted, I don't know if it was pled down from an actual offense, but pled to attempted criminal sex act with a victim under the age of 15. This is an old guy, not young, right? And you would think, well, I mean, he either attempted to rape a 15-year-old or he actually had sex with a 15-year-old. It's only been 10 years since 2012. Well, he should probably still be in prison, right? Or at least on some sort of parole. Well, Douglas Powell, No, no. He is affiliated with a activist organization, Vocal NY, which is Vocal New York. It's a progressive advocacy group that he is a mouthpiece for. This group, since 2014, has been given, wait for it, $2.8 million of taxpayer funds to assist in drug treatment programs and progressive causes. Another $1.6 million in separate, specific city contracts, right? So we're talking north of $4 million, almost $4.5 million since 2014. Taxpayer dollars going to this organization that has this level two sex offender as one of their mouthpieces. Well, this level two sex offender was testifying to the city council's Committee on Civil and Human Rights last week. And well, he had something to say. And damn it, Democrat from Queens, Natasha Williams, the chair of the committee, well, she listened without objection as he advocated for a bill that would prevent landlords from doing criminal background checks of prospective tenants. What did he have to say? And I'm going to quote him. He said, "Did you see those Asian people that were just talking? I live in Rego Park now. That's the most racist neighborhood I've ever been in, and it's nothing but Asians. If you go into a store, they will follow you around like you're getting ready to steal something. They don't want black people living in black people neighborhoods because it's not their neighborhood, because they're from China. They're from Hong Kong. We from New York." Now, you would think that someone spouting such awful bigotry, holistically condemning Asian people and Asian business owners and Asian landlords. It was two Asian landlords who were protesting or objecting to this proposed ordinance, right? And this 59-year-old, right? 59. So how old was he 10 years ago? Well, that would be 49. And well, he got 30 whole months for his attempted sexual battery of someone under 15. Now, the president of the Asian Wave Alliance, Yita Chu, she tweeted afterwards, "I left after my testimony and that man was referring to me and Susan Lee," another speaker. "This is the hate speech that fuels anti-Asian hate crimes, and our electeds were silent." Well, she was complaining that the elected officials on the city council that were on that committee had nothing to say to Mr. Powell about his bigotry. And we do. We see viral video. I mean, there's this mythos that the mainstream media is trying to paint that the perpetrators of race-based violence in America are predominantly white men, and that predominantly white men threaten the fabric of this country, and that it is the scourge of white supremacy that is tearing this country apart. And as my partner on TV said, that white people need to pay for the sins of their fathers. It's in the Bible. So my children and me, and doesn't matter what I do with my life. It just matters that my skin color is white and it makes me a bad person. That's what, and well, that's not what I mean when I say down with whiteness. I mean just the evils of white supremacy and the evil. Wait. So do you think that the crazy people that hear that, or the crazy people that hear this pervert sex offender Powell condemn Asian people, if they hear the damn Asians, you think they see the nuance and they parse the statement? Well, it's not really bigoted because, of course, they're not talking about all Asians or all whites, but I'm going to go punch this old man in the face randomly just because. And it's all insane. right? And then, and I have for my entire life been horrifyingly outspoken about the idiocy that is racism, right? This isn't me just, oh, well, this is some Asian people. I need to act worried. No. Holistic hatred towards anyone of any ethnic group is insane. It's crazy. But let's get to the underlying issue at hand that is the proposed ordinance, right? It's also insane. So it's a bill that would say any New York City landlords can't perform criminal background checks on applicants. And this includes sex offenders, murderers, anyone, right? And 30 of the council's 51 members are all about the Fair Chance for Housing Act. Well, let's just give them a fair chance. And Eric Adams, that ex-cop mayor who seems to rather, he'd rather be, you know, at private social clubs. Well, here was his stance. No one should be denied housing because they are once engaged with the criminal justice system, plain and simple. We'll work closely with our partners in the city council to ensure this bill has maximum intended impact. Well, Mayor, what is that intended impact, right? That somebody that has a fourplex with children running around having a great time, well, that he or she can't check to make sure that a prospective tenant isn't a child rapist? Or someone that has a friendly neighborhood community can't make sure that, I don't know, the new tenant hasn't committed murder or robbery? I mean, robbery, it's hard at all anymore, right? Because, of course, in New York City, Mr. Bragg, the DA, well, if it's robbery, I'm probably just going to charge it with theft. I mean, this is insane. It is ridiculous, right? Had someone who looked like he was my age refer to me as a boomer on Instagram. That's that Big Angry Law, if you want to look at it, because of a post about procrastination being some sort of a disease. We might talk about that at some point tonight. But it's really, I mean, you want to call me a boomer? I mean, I'm solidly Gen X, but if you want to call me a boomer, because I think it's absurd, the very suggestion, right? And I get, right, if you want to say, like, just possession, drug convictions, it's not fair and all. But, you know, I mean, that's the thing with criminal history. It's typically because you've committed a crime. And honestly, I mean, obviously I'm against the war on drugs. And I think it has left so many. Well, we'll be back in a moment.
Big Angry Law with Charles Adams continues.
And Monte Carlos and El Dorado. So I'm waking up out of my slumber, feeling like Rollo. So follow, it's showtime and the Apollo minus the Kiki Shepherds. With about a when the leopard print. Teddy Pendergrass, cooler than Freddie Jackson, sipping a milkshake in a snowstorm. That I throw warm in the dorm room at the AU. We blew hate to athletes, might cake you, but you must have been mistaken with them statements that you make, huh?
Ghetto Belts and Patty Melts. Let's get back to it. We're going to keep going with ridiculous stories. Did y'all watch the Face Off on Friday night? You can find it on the website. You can find it on my social media. I think there's a link in my bio on Instagram. I don't know about Twitter. It's on there somewhere. Go download it. Go watch me and Quanell. It's like a kindler, gentler Quanell. Our second Face Off was about guns. I think everyone that listens to my show knows I'm a rabid proponent of the Second Amendment for law-abiding citizens. And he was supposed to take the position that he agreed with President Biden's take that the fact that semi-automatic weapons were for sale in America is stupid, but then he didn't. He chickened out. Made it less of an argument than it was supposed to be. But what are you going to do? So let's talk about Kirsten Henning. Well, who was she? Well, she was a Division I soccer player at a top-flight school, Virginia Tech. It's not just a good sports school. It's a great educational institution, but like many great educational institutions, it has engaged in this hive mind groupthink where everyone must agree, and it was writ large on the soccer field. 2018, Henning was a true freshman, but yet despite being a true freshman, she started in 19 of 22 soccer contests. Her second year in college, she started in 18 of 19, playing in all of the games. She was also second in amount of time spent on the playing field that season. But all that changed when the Hokies were going to have a little preseason contest against the Cavaliers of the University of Virginia in the fall of 2020, her last year on the team. She was forced off the team. Well, did she get hurt? Did she stop kicking the ball so good in that kickball game? No. The coach wanted to show to give the world a sign of unity by kneeling during the national anthem. The article at the time said while her teammates knelt during the pregame reading of the Atlantic Coast Conference's unity pledge, so not the national anthem, a unity pledge, a show of support for the social justice movement and Black Lives Matter, Henning and one other unidentified player remained standing. Well, that allegedly pissed off Chugger Adair, the coach, and well, he ran her off the damn team. Well, she filed a lawsuit and just this week or last week in federal court. The judge determined that lawsuit would be allowed to proceed. It alleges that the coach, Chugger, singled her out, verbally attacked her, stuck a finger in her face, criticized her for bitching and moaning, and being a selfish and individualistic teammate. Specifically, she wanted to do her own thing. Well, I mean, if she was a disruptive teammate, well, I could maybe see it. But if that disruption was that she didn't want to be coerced or agree to be forced into making a public political statement that she may or may not have disagreed with, well, that's absolutely absurd. And Virginia Tech is a publicly funded institution. And if you're forcing a student to take a political stance that they don't feel, that's just like prohibiting them from speech. By making them speak when they want to, that's still a First Amendment violation. Now, Chugger, he argues, well, there's two other players. They didn't. And I don't know if that's what Chugger sounds like, but you know, with a name like Chugger Adair, it kind of sounds like that's what Chugger Adair should sound like. And Chugger Adair, he says, well, you know, there were two other players. Well, they didn't have no reduced playing time because they didn't kneel. Yeah. The court stated, ultimately, Adair may convince a jury that this coaching decision was based solely on Henning's poor play during the UVA game, but the court, viewing the evidence in the light most favorable to Henning, cannot reach that conclusion as a matter of law. Chugger is, of course, making the argument that no, it was this preseason game that she just played real bad in, so I'm done with it. I'm done with her. Had nothing to do with the fact that she wouldn't kneel. Or she, you know, led to those other players. I had to blame someone, but I didn't blame her. You know, in the typical got to trot out the bona fides, the pleadings on file and the complaint allege that the young woman supports social justice and believes that Black Lives Matter, does not support BLM, the organization, tactics, and core tenets of its mission, including defunding the police. You know, it's kind of sad that she felt the need, or her lawyers felt the need, to trot that out, right? To explain herself. Because at the core, it's political speech. And that's why, well, why do you do that radio show if you don't make a lot of money doing it? You're really saying dangerous stuff. Couldn't that impact your business or get you canceled? Maybe. I mean, that was the pushback after the little back and forth between our incredibly corrupt county judge and Mattress Mac, was the fact that, yeah, supporting even a centrist Republican candidate like Mac did could cost him business, right? A bunch of people were saying a bunch of awful things, right? But if you look at the amount of stuff Mac has done for the citizens of Harris County versus what Lena Hidalgo has done, which is just steward money to cronies and do an incredibly poor job stewarding the city and threatening public safety and just being all around awful and selfish person that does a crap. I don't know, right? And I get, I mean, you can have legitimate, you weren't allowed for years to have criticism of BLM, the organization, until it became clear that they were just stealing corporate monies to they were buying mansions and saying they were buying them for the movement. No, it's, I mean, I live in it and I throw parties here and it's beautiful and wonderful, but it's for the people, not for me. I mean, the people can't use it, right? I'm building a wall around it, but it's for the people. Well, victims of inappropriate or criminal police violence, their family members, we never got anything from BLM. They never did nothing for us. And of course, the media ignored it, right? Because you can't have honest conversations, right? The conversation about fixing our policing paradigm, I think, is we're having the wrong conversations. If you listen to this show, you understand that that's my position, right? That abandoning victims and not policing victimizers is not the solution to the oppression of innocent people, right? I mean, I don't even know who came up with the idea to sell that to America? It seems like the criminals. It's like feminism being sold on, hey, all you girls, y'all just get naked all the time and post pictures of it and have sex with everybody. That'd be real, real feminist stuff, right? That'd be empowering, right? Doesn't it kind of just seem like a dude came up with that? Or like a criminal came, you know, really, to have social justice, let's have no cops and let's have no consequence for people that steal and hurt other people. That'd be some real reform right there. Yeah, see, real reform. Let us bad guys do whatever we want, because that's the way to have a better society. Again, it all seems like a clown. I hate the term clown world, because it seems so very right-wing. And if you listen regularly, you know, I got probably, when we get back, I want to talk about a West Texas state senator that's an absolute and total moron.
You're listening to Big Angry Law on KPRC 950. Here we go. It's tricky to rock around, to rock around. That's right, on time is tricky. It's tricky, 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 tricky. It's tricky to rock around, to rock around. That's right, on time is tricky. Tricky, tricky, tricky. I met this little girlie. Her hair was kind of curly. Went to her house and bust her out. I had to leave real early. These girls are really sleazy. All they just say is please me. Or spend some time and rock a rhyme. I said it's not that easy. It's tricky to rock around, to rock around. That's right, on time is tricky. How is it, Dave? It's tricky, tricky, tricky. It's tricky to rock around, to rock around. That's right, on time is tricky. Tricky, tricky, tricky. In New York, the people talking try to
just rhyme. They really hawk, but we just walk because we have no time.
Oh, Run DMC. The Beatles of hip hop. And they just done them 2 decades later, they'd be worth hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars on that Drake level, that Jay-Z level. Y'all don't, you kids don't know how important Run DMC was to rap music. But let's get back to stories of absurdity. More specifically, stories that exemplify why I hate the Republican Party, specifically the Texas Republican Party. Now, don't get it twisted. I hate the Democrats too, for a whole bunch of different reasons. But goodness sakes alive, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it just be so nice to have a party that, you know, leaves us the hell alone, figures out a way to take as little amount of money from us as possible, and to rob us of the least amount of freedom as possible to maintain, but allowing them to maintain public safety and the public services that we expect in this collectivist endeavor. But of course, no party does, right? In Texas, we have all these hidden taxes, these regressive taxes. Well, we print. It's not nearly as bad as California or New York or anything. No, let's not get it wrong. But our tax burden is a bit more nefarious because it protects the wealthy at the expense of the wage earners. And anyway, but here's but the real reason. I think you can distill why I hate the Texas Republican Party to this one cat. State Senator Charles Perry, we share our first name. He has filed Senate Bill 264 from out there in Lubbock, Texas, right? A dusty land that apparently likes to elect idiots, but of course that happens all over Texas. And I like Lubbock. I think Texas Tech is a beautiful campus. I think it seems very safe and very nice, and there ain't much out there, but what is out there is pretty damn nice. But this idiot, well, he doesn't want people smiling out there or smiling anywhere in the state because, well, this is really in the immediate aftermath, right, of our president freeing the Merchant of Death. So a basketball player, a local hero, right, a Houstonian, Brittany Griner, and a basketball player of some significant note, but a basketball player that knowingly brought drugs to a foreign land. She's free. But what Charles Perry wants to do is back here in Texas, make more THC illegal so more people can go to Texas prisons for possessing it. Right? You know, right now we can't have straight Delta 9. I can't have my Keef soda, KEEF. If you're ever in California or Colorado, you should check out their cola. It's got calories, which is how the Delta 8 Wonder Water at 8th Wonder beats them because it's calorie free, but it's got the Delta 9 that at 10 milligram low dosage just mellows you the mellow out, right? And I like the effects of the Delta 9 because it's far more natural, in my opinion, than the Delta 8. But Charles Perry, he ain't having it. He wants to make that Delta 8 illegal. He wants to make that sub 0.3 Delta 9 edibles illegal. He wants more people in Texas jails for trying to get high. And the question is why? I mean, is he working at the behest of the alcohol lobby that is so antagonistic towards the consumable hemp instead of embracing it like a purveyor of alcohol, Eighth Wonder here in town did? Was he so incensed by the 2018 federal farm bill and Texas House Bill 1325 that legalized hemp that he thought, well, and I mean, there are people. I had a conversation with a policeman friend of mine who, and I had done some legal work for this child, who just really, really felt like weed should be legal because he blames it for diverting the course of his son's life, which of course that's because he didn't want to engage in introspection about failed parenting, divorces, and broken homes that most certainly contributed to his son growing up to be kind of an F-word up, right? And he absolutely was. But you as a parent, you want to blame somebody. I can get on my kids a lot, but, you know, and it's either I'm blaming them or I'm blaming me. I recognize the problem. And it's just really insane to me that there is a state senator and probably friends of his. He and Dan Patrick are pretty close. You would think Dan Patrick would shut this down, but I don't think he will. I don't know why I said that you would think he would. You would hope that he would. I don't think he would. And the thing is, we need more individual liberty and more individual freedoms in this country, not less. Alcohol is an absolute toxic poison that leads people to getting behind the wheel of a car, passing out in a blackout, and killing a family of four. I still don't think we should rob Americans of the ability to get drunk. What we should instead do is have more significant consequences when you hurt someone or you get in a car wreck and that kind of thing when you're driving drunk. And we should encourage more people not to be idiots and get behind the wheel after they've been drinking, because it is idiocy, by possibly making part of the driving licensing process to watch actual scene videos of DWI accidents. They're horrifying. And while driving while being impaired on marijuana or a Delta 8, any cannabinoid is not a good thing. You shouldn't do it. It most certainly does not result in the horrifying consequences of drinking and driving. And it goes far beyond that, right? Like, just purely anecdotally from my experience as a patrolman, as a police officer, you don't fight with stone people. Stone people aren't at home beating up their wives or their children. They're not in the streets acting insane. In fact, they're all typically pretty happy and pretty nice. Some of them are pretty useless, right? Let's not get it wrong. And I've talked about my weight loss journey and cutting out alcohol and just how it's impacted my overall health. And if you told me 3 years ago I'd be a year and a half into not drinking and not, you know, I mean, I miss bourbon and cold beer on draft, but I'm perfectly happy. I had brunch on Sunday and had some of that draft THC Delta 8 beverage. It's kind of the fruity one that I don't love. But they got it on draft down there, Wild and Montrose. Man, they had some really good French toast. They call it like Pain Perdue or something, because you got to call crap fancy stuff in Montrose. You can't just call it French bread or French toast. And they had a queso fundido, and it came with chorizo, but the wife doesn't eat pork. So there was a joke. I'm going to leave that alone. And I'm going to try to start having more fun with this radio show. I don't know if you've got the tone and the tenor today, because I usually get so upset and angry, and I'm just tired of doing it, right? I'm tired of being upset and angry about stuff. So we're going to try to have a different tone and tenor, right? Except when we're talking about real dark stuff. But it was amazing. And I'm not a corn tortilla guy, but those were probably the best corn tortillas I ever had. But I love the fact that I can go to a bar and get that stuff now. And this idiot, Charles Perry,
I don't have no fun, so I don't want anyone else to have any fun. I'm out here in Lubbock looking like a middle-aged doofus. He's probably elderly doofus. I'm an elderly doofus. And I don't want anybody having a good time. Call your state senator. Object to Senate Bill 264.